from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 9525 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello listener, welcome back again in English Bulletin for today. In today's edition, we will present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, and My Indonesia. We will continue our program with news in brief, Indonesian Wonder, and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news. This is Anesana with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo receives input from law experts. Indonesian government develops export in Indo-Pacific region. And now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo receives input from a number of Indonesian law experts related to the pros and cons of the People's Consultative Assembly MPR, the House of Representatives DPR, the Regional Representative Council, and the Regional People's Representative Council MD3 law in the community. Former Chairman of the Constitutional Court, Professor Mahfud MD, explained in Jakarta on Wednesday that he and other law experts gave a number of views regarding the MD3 law and the criminal code to President Joko Widodo, including an alternative legal consideration for the President with the full authority to decide the steps to be taken related to the pros and cons of the law.
The issues of MD3 are three chapters, namely Chapter 73, Chapter 122, and 245. We present our views and public views. Then we say the President has a constitutional right, the constitutional authority, to immediately take any decision. And that's the consequence of the President's office. So we also have to follow what the President stipulates.
Professor Mahfud hopes that the President can immediately take a decision. A number of law experts who attended the meeting with the President were Edi Omar Sharif Hirij, Marwarar Siahaan, and Luhut Pangaribuan. Head of the Trade Analysis and Development Agency of Indonesian Ministry of Trade, Kasan Muhri, said recently in Jakarta that the Indonesian government should develop trade activities to become developed country in the Indo-Pacific region. He views that Indonesia still relies on export of raw products that can actually be developed by starting exporting finished goods. In addition, Indonesia has the potential to develop an open trading system that is considered still below compared with other countries in ASEAN region.
Basically, Indonesia has huge resources. This is the basic lines. But we need human capital. And then Indonesia also have to move to become the manufacturing or industrial countries to move quickly or fastly. So because right now our export is dominated by the primary products, and then we have to shifting to manufacturing products. And also about the trade openness, Indonesia in the world still low. Behind the ASEAN pipe like Singapore, Malaysia, Thailand. But I'm very optimistic that Indonesia can move more often, especially on export will be increased.
The Indonesian government has introduced the Indo-Pacific concept at the foreign ministerial meeting in Singapore in early February. At the meeting, Indonesia encouraged open and transparent regional architectural ideas based on international law and principles embodied in the Southeast Asian Treaty and Amity Cooperation TAC, including in line with the Bali Principles launched by the East Asian Conference. Meanwhile, in early 2018, President Joko Widodo began a state visit to 5 countries in South Asia. The visit was conducted to pave the way for Indonesia to open trade and investment channels, as well as to resolve issues in the region, including the exclusive economic zone and maritime issues. The Central Bureau of Statistics, BPS, recorded that in February 2018, inflation stood at 0.17%. Head of the Central Bureau of Statistics, Kecuk Suharyanto, explained that the calendar year inflation rate from January to February 2018 was at 0.79%, and the inflation rate from February 2018 to February 2017 was at 3.18%. In a press briefing conducted in Jakarta on March 1st, he explained that in unfavorable weather and rainy season, the inflation rate of 0.17% is good and still under existing assumptions. This shows that inflation is under control. Inflation in February 2018 is good, 3.18 is still under assumption. We hope this inflation will be maintained so it will not affect the purchasing power. Suharyanto further explained that from 82 CPI or Consumer Price Index cities, 55 cities experienced inflation and 27 cities experienced deflation. The highest inflation occurred in Jayapura, where inflation was 1.05%, while the lowest was in Palangkaraya, which was 0.04%. Compared to the previous year, inflation in February 2018 was lower. However, compared to 2016, the figure was higher because in February 2016, there was a deflation of 0.09%. He hopes that two-month inflation remains under control so that the target in 2018 can be achieved. This news comes to you over RRIWO Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The year 2018 is a commemorative year that marks 45th anniversary of friendship and cooperation between Japan and ASEAN. Taking this opportunity, on February 28 in Jakarta, the government of Japan, through its ambassador to ASEAN, Kazuo Sunaga, officially appointed Melody Nuramdani Laksani, or Melody JKT48, as the Japan-ASEAN Goodwill Ambassador on Food and Agriculture. In her remarks at the appointment, Melody said that she would share her knowledge and emphasize the importance of food and agriculture to the people of ASEAN, as well as the close relations between Japan and ASEAN.
With this opportunity to be Goodwill Ambassador of Japan-ASEAN Agriculture, I would like to share with ASEAN people about what I learned and my experience when I participated in agricultural projects during my study. Along with that, I would like to convey message to ASEAN people about the importance of food and agriculture, as well as bond between Japan and ASEAN.
After the event, Melody, who is also an alumni of the Faculty of Agriculture, Pajajaran University, Bandung West Java, said that she is proud of being appointed directly by the government of Japan to become the Goodwill Ambassador of Japan and ASEAN on Food and Agriculture. In addition, she said that she would promote Indonesian agriculture to the ASEAN people, in which Indonesia is a country with a huge agriculture potential in Southeast Asia. Project Manager Wikimedia Indonesia Yvonne Christiani is organizing Project Ganesha Competition. The Project Ganesha Competition is a writing one initiated by Wikimedia Indonesia and Goethe Institute Indonesian since September 2017 and ended in February 2018. Through this project, Wikipedia Wikimedia Indonesia product has a mission to provide free knowledge to all Indonesian people. Yvonne Christiani at the press talk Project Ganesha at Goethe House, Jakarta, Wednesday, explained that to make it easier for local people to get knowledge, Wikipedia is now available in several regional languages such as the regional languages of Aceh, Banjar, Banyumasan, Bugis, Java, Malay, Minangkabau, Tatun, Sundanese, and in the future there will be the launch of Gorontalo language.
The mission to make knowledge free and accessible by everyone is not only in Indonesian Wikipedia. We are also aware that in Indonesia there are a lot more languages spoken, traditional languages, and That's why we have several versions of Wikipedia, not just in Indonesian, but we also have Achenese, Banjar, Banyumasan, Bugis, Javanese, Melayu, Minangkabau, Tetun, and Sundanese. And we're also about to launch the Gorontalo Wikipedia.
Yvonne Cristiani added that after 15 years, there have been more than 400,000 registered articles on Wikipedia Indonesia, and it has already about 1 million registered users. Based on the number of the articles, Wikipedia Indonesia is currently standing at the 25th position of the world with the most number of articles. Head of Foreign Trade Development Division of Bali Provincial Industry and Foreign Trade Office Anak Agung Ngurah Bagawinata said that tuna export contributed the largest among 9 types of fishery and marine commodities of Bali that penetrate overseas market. Ngurah Bagawinata also added in Denpasar, Bali on Thursday that the tuna fish is the catch of the local fishermen and companies whose operations use large ships that hung in the port of Benoa, Bali. As written by Republika Online, Bali earned $150.15 million from shipment of fresh and frozen tuna to the overseas market during 2017. This amount increased 75.79% compared to the previous year. And the last item, the Indonesian government would build 14 dams to protect residents in North Sumatra's district of Karo from cold lava flood as an impact of Mount Sinabung eruption. Head of the National Disaster Mitigation Agency, BNPB, William Rapangalie William, said in Medan on Wednesday that dams are built to prevent cold lava from flowing over housing area and farming in Karo. William explained that the construction of the dams has been one of infrastructure development projects as part of rehabilitation and relocation process after the eruption of Mount Sinabung. The project would be implemented by local administrations in cooperation with the central government. William added that of the 14 dams that would be built until 2019, the construction of 10 dams would be completed in 2018. Meanwhile, the remaining 4 dams would be finalized in 2019. And listener, to end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian President Joko Widodo receives input from law experts. Indonesian government develops export in Indo-Pacific region. And that was the news. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is Registration of Cellular Phone Card Validation is Over. Well listener, since 2005, every cell phone subscriber has been requested to register their number before activating the number. However, at the time, it was not accompanied by the validation process, so it is still possible for someone to manipulate the data. It is easily misused by users for negative purposes, such as spreading hoaxes, threats, activities of terrorism, and deception. In response, the government registered from October 2007 to February 2018. Thus, every user's cell phone number has to be validated by including the number of identity number and family card. In regard to the registration and revalidation, Minister of Communication and Informatics Rudiantara affirmed that the government will not extend the registration period of prepaid card, which is completed on February 28, 2018. He also pointed out that when the prepaid registration period expires and mobile service users have not registered the card, the number will be gradually removed from the system owned by the telecommunication operators. Meanwhile, Director General Post and Informatics at the Minister of Communications and Informatics, Ahmad Ramli, explained that the registration of prepaid cards aims to support the development of the digital economy. Thus, the financial transactions in the online world become more secured. In addition, the registration is intended to protect the public from deception, crime, and violation of law through means of cell phones and other electronic media. Director General of Population and Civil Records at the Minister of Home Affairs, Sudan Arif Fakrullah, said that the validation process in cooperation with the cellular operators could prevent crime and terrorism. Thus, criminals and terrorists often operate by utilizing the leniency of identity checks during initial registration of cell phone cards. He also confirmed that the actors of hate speech or hoax spreaders will not be easy to operate if the validation of personal data by mobile operators is completed. There has been a fear of many parties about the confidentiality of data which can be misused by irresponsible individuals. Ahead of the implementation of the 2018 regional election head and 2019 presidential election, it is feared that many parties will manipulate the population data for the sake of the general election. This makes some people reluctant to register. With the timely support of the government to carry out the familiarization, people can finally understand the impact that occurs when not being registered and validated. Security aspect and economic benefits make the registration and validation a logical choice for Indonesian people. Thinking positively rather than just accepting the news about the abuse of personal data proves that Indonesia are more mature and looking forward. Based on the latest data from the Ministry of Communication and Informatics, on 27 February 2018, at around 9:42 AM, the number of enrollment has reached nearly 300 million, exceeding the population of Indonesia according to the latest data of the Central Bureau of Statistics, which recorded 254.9 million people. Even though not everyone has a cell phone, many have more than one number. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Hello listener, nice to be with you again in our regular program, Today in History, over RRI Service, Voice of Indonesia. Well, we start from the 1st of March 1st, 1919, is about Mensa demonstration. March 1st movement or Mensa demonstration or also Samil movement was early movement of Korean people in struggling their independence for Japanese occupation. The movement occurred on March 1st, 1990. When millions of Korean people throughout the country demonstrated peacefully. In the movement, around 7,000 people were killed by Japanese police and forces. And the next event was 1949, about General Offensive of March 1, 1949 in Jakarta. Approximately 1 month after the Dutch military aggression II, namely December 1948, the Indonesian military arranged strategy to attack Dutch forces, which took over Jakarta. The offensive was begun by disconnecting telephone, damaging railway, attacking the Dutch convoy and other actions. When the Dutch forces had been separated, then the Indonesian military conducted the offensive. At 6 in the morning, the offensive began to be launched throughout Yogyakarta. The offensive had received agreement from regional head of Yogyakarta, Sri Sultan Hamengkubuwono IX. The Indonesian forces succeeded to occupy Yogyakarta for 6 hours. The general offensive on March 1, 1949 brought very big impact for Indonesia, which was in session in the UN Security Council. The offensive became the evidence of assistance and strengthened the Indonesian bargaining position in the negotiation in the UN Security Council, and also opened international world eyes that the Indonesian military did not destroy like heralded by the Dutch. The victory also succeeded to increase morale and spirit of the Indonesian military in other regions. And the last event was in 2002, about Anaconda Operation. Anaconda Operation was a United States of America invasion in Afghanistan, which was begun on March 1, 2002. The United States of America forces and some allied countries tried to destroy Al-Qaeda and Taliban forces. The operation held at the Sahikot Valley and Mountain Arma in the southeast of Shormat. The operation was the best battle in a big scale in the United States of America war in Afghanistan since Tora Bora war in December 2001. It was the best operation in Afghanistan, which involved a number of U.S. conventional air forces. Anaconda operation ended on March 18, 2002. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Listener, welcome to the regular My Indonesia. Today's topic is about the population of whale shark in Talisayan waters, East Kalimantan increases. The population of whale sharks in Talisayan waters, Berau district, East Kalimantan has increased. Within a period of 3 years, the number of the whale shark species has increased significantly. This was stated by Mahardika, a member of the World Wildlife Fund, WWF, and Whale Shark Indonesia team recently. He said that earlier this year, the team has conducted research on whale sharks in the waters of Talisayan. There have been increasing new individuals of the whale shark species over the last few years. Mahardika said that this is a second study. Firstly, by 2015, there was a total number of whale sharks, about 36 individuals, and in the second study of early 2018, there are 51 whale sharks. In terms of size, he said that the existing population is largely classified as immature, with the size between 3 to 8 meters long, while the size of adult is 18 meters. Moreover, Mahardika also said that from the research, it has been known that the whale sharks in Talisayan exist not only as migrant animal, but the species have settled and bred in the waters. Besides existing in Talisayan waters, the whale sharks are also found in Derawan Island. Furthermore, Mahardika has said that the WWF Indonesia team will conduct a 7-month advanced research to see how far the whale sharks' progress is in the near future. The team will also socialize the procedures to interact with the whale sharks correctly, because from the result in the research, there were many parties who do not understand the procedure of interact with the mammals. According to Mahardika, the interaction with the whale sharks will become a good tourism opportunity, but it should be fixed to follow the right procedures so as not to endanger the tourists and the animal itself. Meanwhile, Head of Culture and Tourism Office in Berau, Mapasikras, said that the breeding of whale sharks in Talisayan waters is a big capital for the development of tourism in Berau. He calls for all tourism business stakeholders to take advantage of this opportunity in improving the tourism sector. Mapasikra also invites the people to keep the sea territory in order to make the whale sharks feel comfortable and stay long in the waters. That was My Indonesia.
This is Ania Sana with News in Brief. Indonesian President Joko Widodo received inputs from a number of Indonesian law experts related to the pros and cons of the People's Consultative Assembly MPR, the House of Representatives DPR, and Regional Representative Council and the Regional People's Representative Council MD3 law in the community. Head of the Trade Analysis and Development Agency of Indonesian Ministry of Trade, Kasan Muhri, said in Jakarta recently that the Indonesian government should develop trade activities to become developed country in the Indo-Pacific region. The Central Bureau of Statistics, BPS, recorded that in February 2018, inflation stood at 0.17%. The year 2018 is a commemorative year that marks 45th anniversary of friendship and cooperation between Japan and ASEAN. Taking this opportunity, on February 28 in Jakarta, the government of Japan, through its ambassador to ASEAN, Kazuo Sunaga, officially appointed Melody Nuramdani Laksani, or Melody JKT48, as the Japan-ASEAN Goodwill Ambassador on Food and Agriculture. Project Manager Wikimedia Indonesia Yvonne Kristiani is organizing Project Ganesha Competition. Head of Foreign Trade Development Division of Bali Provincial Industry and Foreign Trade Office Anak Agung Ngurah Bagawinata said that tuna export contributed the largest among nine types of fishery and marine commodities of Bali that penetrate overseas market. And the last item, the Indonesian government would build 14 dams to protect residents in North Sumatra's district of Karo from cold lava flood as an impact of Mount Sinabung eruption. And listener, that was News in Brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you traveling to West Sulawesi Province. Stay tuned. North Mamuju is one of regencies in West Sulawesi Province. The capital of the regency is Pasangkayu, which is located about 276 kilometers from Mamuju, the capital of West Sulawesi Province. The location of North Mamuju Regency adjacent to Makassar Strait in the west, so the regency has various beautiful beaches that become the leading tourist destination of North Mamuju Regency. Now we'll recommend to you an object of Tanjung Babia Beach. If you visit North Mamuju, traveling to Tanjung Babia Beach, you can not only enjoy its natural beauty, but also various typical culinary of Mandar people, one of the natives of West Sulawesi. Located in Pasangkayu region, within 2 kilometers from the capital of North Mamuju, Tanjung Babia Tourism Object is one of the leading tourist destinations in North Mamuju Regency, as it is most visited by domestic and foreign tourists every week. From downtown Pasangkayu, you can use 2 or 4 wheel vehicles to Tanjung Babia Beach. Arriving at Tanjung Babia Beach, you can instantly enjoy the beauty of the beach with 3 kilometers coastline. Tanjung Babia Beach has clear blue sea water that can pamper your eyes just by looking on it. With high waves that can reach 2 meters, you can do sailing, fishing, or other water sport. In addition, you can also enjoy the freshness of Tanjung Babia Beach water by swimming. But you have to be careful. After conducting sport activities on the beach, you can rest in gazebos which are available along Tanjung Babia Beach. Listener, Tanjung Babia Beach not only offers enchantment of the beach, the marine tourism area also offers various traditional culinary of Mandar like jepa. This typical food is made from Grated cassava mixed with grated coconut. The jepa is usually served in warm with fresh grilled fish or ikan masak botiapia. Besides to enjoy the culinary, you can also see first-hand process of making jepa, fresh grilled fish or botiapia, which is especially cooked with wood stove. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Tanjung Babia Beach in West Sulawesi. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa. Bye for now.
Radio Service, Voice of Indonesia. Here is my language, informing you the traditional languages of Indonesia. Listener, Indonesia has hundreds of traditional languages spread across the regions. However, not all of them are known well by the people of Indonesia or even foreign people. One of them is Tobati language from Jayapura, Papua. Tobati language origins from the people living around Yotefa Bay or Jayapura Bay in Jayapura City, Papua Province. Currently, the speakers of Tobati language are spread in three districts in Papua Province, namely South Jayapura, Abepura, and Muara Tami. The amount of Tobati speakers in 1984 was 800 and becoming 600 in 1999. However, the number of speakers now is decreasing due to the influence of other languages. Even the speakers of Tobati language are predicted to be only 500 people remaining, which all of them are elderly. Therefore, the Tobati language is categorized as seriously endangered language. The alphabet of Tobati language uses the same ones with Indonesian or Latin. However, there are several characters unavailable in Tobati language, such as X, Q, V, and Z. Another uniqueness of Tobati language is its clause and sentence structure. If Indonesian structure consists of subject, predicate, object, the Tobati language uses subject, object, predicate. Listener, here is several word examples of Tobati language. Ngu, ngu, in English. I, ntrica, ntrica, in English. They, one, want, in English. Eat, nasre, nasre, in English. Popeda, moghot, moghot, in English. Mount, recau, recau, in English. To hike, rora, rora, in English. Yesterday. Listener, now here are some examples of sentences in Tobati language. Nu nasre want. Nu nasre want. In English, I eat popeda. Rora entrija mogot recau. Rora entrija mogot recau. In English, yesterday, they hiked the mountain. Listener, that was my language for today about Tobati language. Thank you very much for listening, and sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to the regular Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we'll present nostalgic pop songs to you from Nur Afni Octavia. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Bila Kau Seorang Diri by Nur Afni Octavia. Enjoy the song.
Kau seorang diri, jangan kau beri.
Listener, that was the song Bila Kau Seorang Diri by Nur Afni Octavia. She was a popular female pop singer in the 1970s and early 1980s. The song Bila Kau Seorang Diri was one of the hit songs of Nur Afni Octavia, which tells the story about sense of loneliness. The romantic song was composed by Rinto Harahap, a top songwriter in Indonesia. Besides being a singer, Nur Afni Octavia is also an actress. Her talent in acting was shown through a number of films she played, such as Butet in 1974, Bernafas Dalam Cinta in 1978, Pulau Cinta in 1978, and Remaja Idaman in 1979. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Ibu or Mother by Nur Afni Octavia. Happy listening.
Ibu,
Listener, wherever you are, you have just listened to the song Ibu by Nur Afni Octavia, the singer who was born in Medan and started her career by following the radio and television singing contest Bintang Radio Televisi in 1976. Although she did not manage as the first winner, her performance at that time attracted the jury's attention, so she was awarded the Best Performing title. Starting from the title, Nur Afni received many offers of recording contracts from recording companies in Indonesia. When she joined one of the recording companies in Indonesia, she released her first album entitled Surat Cinta in 1978. After that, from the 1980s to the early 1990s, Nur Afni Octavia produced a lot of numbers of recording albums respectively. Well, listener, to conclude our segment of Music Corner for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Cincin Kenangan and Senandung Rindu by Nur Afni Octavia. Happy listening and see you in the next edition of Music Corner. Goodbye for now.
Terima kasih.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Tuhan, lihatlah kami
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.